It always amazes me when all of these readings from Old Testament and Psalm and Epistles and Gospel all line up. And not only do they line up today, but I think they address the mood I'm in. And it seems the mood of pretty much everybody I've talked to about what's going on in our country and what's gone on in just the last few days. I've just been so absorbed and tried not to just keep the TV on, not try to keep the radio on, because I don't want to just have myself completely immersed in this, but I can't help it. I think of the Garlic Festival 1 week ago and 6-year-old Stephen Romero of San Jose, 13-year-old Kenya Salazar of San Jose, 25-year-old Trevor Irby from Romulus, New York, back near my home turf in the Finger Lakes region in central New York, a little town of 4,000 people. And then the 12 more who were injured. And then yesterday in El Paso, Texas, there were 20 killed and 26 injured. 1 o'clock this morning in Dayton, Ohio, there were 9 killed and 26 injured. So far this year in 2019, there have been 251 mass shootings. 251 mass shootings. Our national conversation and our neighborhood conversations and our family conversations about all the things we debate about, climate and nuclear weapons and immigration reform and gun control and abortion and the rights of minorities, has degenerated into rhetoric that shows itself by division and anger and hate and violence. What on earth is going on? What on earth is going on? It tears my heart. I went to a rally that was held at the 400 block here on San Benito Street at 7 o'clock. It was Thursday evening. And there were between 125 and 150 people, something like that, who came to pray, to show solidarity with Gilroy, that we're their neighbor. Even if we compete in sports, we're still neighbors. And we heard from words from Supervisors Dela Cruz and Hernandez and Councilman Resendez. But what really captivated my attention was a woman who spoke. I think she was part of the Niner Empire group. And she has been a teacher for the last 18 years, is still a teacher. And she offered the interaction that caught her attention, that somebody in the crowd said to the shooter at the Garlic Festival, "Why are you doing this?" And his answer was, "Because I'm angry." And all she could think about was, what could make someone so angry that they would feel that kind of violence within them? What is it that perpetuates that kind of violence? And it's not just him, obviously. There are 251 mass shootings just this year. What perpetuates that kind of violence? And she said, you know, I see small symbols of this in the children that I teach, because there are so many of them that lack social skills because most of their day is staring into a smartphone and looking at a TV screen. And they end up perfecting skills at a video game, but no social skills. And she said, you know, this isn't just an issue with children. It's an issue with adults just as well, because there are needs all around us that we could so easily show that we're aware and we care. And many times we turn our head the other way, or we're too busy to even notice that it's happening. And so she was encouraging everybody there to think about the neighbor next door who's been fighting an illness for the next year, and maybe we could deliver a dinner. Or maybe there are some kids who are acting pretty bored, and maybe there's a way to pour them a glass of Kool-Aid and give them something to recognize that people in the neighborhood recognize them and care about them. She said, there are so many little ways that we can make a huge difference. And I thought, what a great homily. That is just the greatest sermon I've heard. Then I went home and took a look at the lessons that I had been reviewing for my sermon. And the very first one from Ecclesiastes, you know, that Old Testament book, that book from Hebrew Scripture, was written by King Solomon. He had asked, God had said, what do you want from me for your becoming a king? And he said, I want wisdom. And it is understood in our tradition, Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived. And you hear the frustration in his voice when you hear that lesson, that he looks at all the power he had and all the authority and all the wealth and all the servants and all the property he owned. And he said, vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities. It's all just going to go to somebody else. And you could get very depressed thinking about, well, gee, that doesn't sound very uplifting. But you have to read the whole book. Because, and it's only 6 pages long. It's just before Isaiah. And if you read that to the last sentence, he says in his last sentence, I can't find the quote. Okay. Well, what he said was, the most important thing I can do in my life is live my life according to God's commands. And what the statement he was trying to make in that was that everything that I have accumulated in my life and thought was powerful and rewarding is not what life is really about, because it does all go to the next generation, and they may treat it horribly, or they may build it up, but it doesn't matter because I'm somewhere else. But he said, my ultimate goal is to follow my God and fulfill my life in a way that's pleasing to God. On this same topic, I've taught a couple of adult Bible studies during Lent that were following along with courses written by John Ortberg. And I really like him a lot. He's a very down-to-earth kind of a speaker. And the names of his of his adult study courses are pretty telling. And I think the next one that I would like to have us consider addressing, here's the title of his adult study series: When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. When the game is over, it all goes back in the box. And that's really what Solomon was saying, right? It all goes back in the box. But the other point to this is, how are we going to live this life in a way that does feel fulfilling? And I think this all leads to something that I learned at Curcio. And I've shared with you before how transformational my Curcio weekend was for me. And one of the core reasons was what a core goal is of Curcio, to say everybody lives by an ideal. Those are values and those are preferences that I've decided I'm going to live my life by. Now, I can either let the world dictate those values to me, or I can myself intentionally decide what kind of values do I want to select that are going to motivate me and are going to make me feel rewarded and motivated and worthwhile and having value. And the concern is that we live in a culture that is so hung up with not just materialism, but we have smartphones that become our means of talking with each other and totally lose the ability for social discourse. So if we disagree about a political issue, it becomes, that's the person I hate. Not the person I disagree with philosophically, it's the person I hate. And if there is inability for us to handle disagreement in a civil way, it leads to anger and depression and violence. This is a lot more than gun control. I actually am in favor of gun control, especially for an AK-47. I don't get where we need those. But much more concern for me is this cultural issue of what we as human beings have decided is going to be the ideal we live by. And I think we as Christians especially are being given the model, and that is the message of the Kursiya weekend. The model we're given is to pattern our lives after Jesus. And Jesus' message, the life that he patterned himself over, is it's all about relationship. It's about being in heartfelt, deep, God-centered relationship, both with God and with each other. What better message could there be in this country than for us to find a way to express that to our next-door neighbor and to our fellow members of our church and to other members of the Christian community and to the people who live in this town and who live in San Benito County? I honestly, truly believe that even our little community here can have an impact. We can make a difference, and we can be a model. And I think it's only until we address those core issues that this goes away. We can't legislate this to end. We can maybe legislate that they won't have automatic rifles, but we can't legislate the mood of the people who are doing these horrific things. Our culture, our technology, the pace of our lives, the pressure of the cost of living, and mostly the lack of people choosing a God-centered ideal to live by all contribute to these events that are so horrific that we are experiencing. I believe we're called to remind people about the life lessons we know about by our reading about Solomon, our reading Paul's letter to the Colossians, reading the Psalms today, reading the Gospel. Are we really just going to build bigger barns? What are we going to do with the goods? We need to choose a God-centered ideal and let the world not impose its set of ideals upon us. I pray that that be so.